AI-7 QMD Mobile monitoring 145-19.
Good morning, Mr. Rick. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, also listening on Petoskey.
Good morning, Jim. I'm just plowing through the potato fields up here on the hill. How's your morning going?
Hey, it's a wonderful day, I guess. Well, what the heck. Hey, I did get a notice, another firmware upgrade for your NR7600. Pretty cool about satellite tracking upgrade.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that one. That sounds kind of cool. I'll have to look that up. Probably a week or two. I have to remember to check on that. I'm heading down to North Carolina this weekend for the holidays.
Oh, cool. Can I ask where in North Carolina? The coast or inland?
Yeah, so I'm going to be inland. The town is called Franklin. Maybe 15 minutes north of the Georgia border. And almost due south of like the Cherokee area, the national park area. Right down near the border, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are down there.
Oh, okay. I think you went there a year ago, maybe, through Chattanooga and the valleys there where the hurricanes kind of flooded out a lot of places. I think that's where you went, about a year ago, maybe?
Yeah. I went down there not too long after the big floods, so it was kind of interesting. Yeah, I'm curious what the route will be this time. It was a whole mix of things the last time I went, and not necessarily convenient, but I usually go down there for Thanksgiving, and it'll be fun. I'd rather be finishing my flooring, but my wife gets to vote too, so you gotta give in sometimes. But I'm just driving down the road, pondering for when I retire and I'm traveling across the country. What frequency do I listen to? And AI tells me that 520 is the frequency I should monitor when I'm on the road traveling. You have any input for that?
Well, in my opinion, it's very difficult to change frequencies when you're moving around. So, you know, I thought about loading in lots of different repeaters, and then I kind of bailed on that because I just can't concentrate changing frequencies. So, yeah, you know, 5.2 is okay, but, you know about how much activity you get on 5.2 up here.
Yeah, I agree. I guess there's always digital, but then again, I'd have to provide the internet from the car, I guess, to do that. I don't know. I'm trying to, I don't want to listen to CD, obviously, I'm just curious if there's when you go four wheeling, I don't have the frequency in my head, but if you go four wheeling, there's a ham frequency that all the four-wheelers, beepers and stuff will monitor if they have a ham, which is kind of nice. You don't have to listen to all the people chatting on all the oddball, handy talkies and stuff like that.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. I know a lot of them use the FRS or GMRS stuff, because the price is pretty darn low these days.
Yeah, out in Arizona, a lot of guys that go four-wheeling or get off-road, deep off-road, have kind of gotten tired of all the chatter on the GMRS and FRS stuff. It can be a pain in the neck when you get a group of people that are just talking about nothing, and you're they're trying to communicate on the trail and make sure you haven't lost anybody, things like that. So, yeah, my buddy, that's how I got into ham. My buddy's like, hey, I'm switching over to the ham radio, and, you know, he said this is the frequency that, you know, most of the four wheelers are on and stuff. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. You know, I guess 520 is kind of a universal calling frequency, but, then again, I guess that would get you into anybody that's listening within your radius, and I don't know. I monitor 520, or I scan that channel at least. I guess most people that are traveling might do that. I thought about loading in, you know, like major city repeaters, but then again, I'm not going to go into any major cities when I'm traveling around. I'm going to be off in the fringes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I keep 5.2 basically on my mobile almost all the time. And then up here in Upper Michigan, the emergency simplex frequency is 146.58. Every once in a while, I've got that one programmed in also just for, you know, emergency management type stuff.
Yeah, it's something to ponder. I guess the bigger point is I'm thinking about retirement. That's what I should think about. But that and the trailer that we want to get, the truck I want has a part of the vision system is a camera that you can mount on the back of a trailer to give you a full view of the rear of the trailer when you're backing. So that's another thing I was pondering. You know, I guess I get the truck first and I take the camera down to the trailer manufacturer and have them install the wires in the right place for me and stuff like that. I don't want to have to poke holes in a brand new trailer.
Yeah, we were talking about how nice adaptive cruise control is and things like that. So, of course, me, I had to go and research and figure out how do they actually do that and what frequency do they use. And I finally figured it out. They kind of standardized on 77 gigahertz for the adaptive cruise control. And the side warning things, sometimes they use, 24 gigahertz radar, and sometimes they use ultrasonic, and sometimes they use vision. You know, it's kind of a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I think a lot of the different auto manufacturers have gone in different directions. The Subaru uses what they call EyeSight. There's a couple of let's call them video or vision sensors up at the top of the windshield, and when they have the wipers set up, so they wipe in that area too, because if they get clouded up, the vision goes bad. And then you lose your adaptive cruise because you can't see where it's going.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm amazed that they're able to embed enough AI, so it doesn't have to go out to the internet to do the AI. Interpretation of a visual signal. That's pretty sophisticated because, like I said, most of the AI stuff they send it to those big servers in the cloud to do the computation.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing would be to see what the Teslas are using, because those cars are all networked to the system. They get like real-time updates and they talk back to the system. There's a giant server network for those things. It is interesting, but I think a lot of it's kind of like autopilot or whatever, a closed loop system. You know, they don't. It's a I don't know whether you call it an algorithm or a program that is internal to the vehicle, I think. But I don't know. It's kind of cool stuff. Yeah, it's technology is getting crazy.
Yeah, you know, my research was interesting on the 77 gigahertz radars that they mount in the grill for some of the adaptive cruise control. It's interesting. It's only good for, they set up to 80 meters. So it's good for up to 80 meters to be 250 feet nominally to 300 feet. So anyhow, it's got to pick something up ahead of it 300 feet away.
That's pretty cool. It is. So I noticed the, this Subaru will actually, in adaptive cruise, someone in front of me stops. It'll stop my vehicle. If I'm coming up to a stoplight, it'll slow down, follow the other vehicle. I can set the distance behind, how close I want to be, but it'll stop the vehicle and hold it and then take off again once the light changes. It's kind of crazy. What I don't like about it, though, and I don't really care to understand it that much, but when I'm going down the highway in adaptive cruise with the auto steering on, it wants to get closer to a big truck, and I don't understand what it sees about a big vehicle that it wants to edge up closer. It's supposed to be looking at the lines on the road, and maybe that shadow of the truck is doing something to it. I mean, something's going on. I don't really care to understand it because I'm not ever going to keep driving a Subaru forever, but it's just weird. It pulls in closer to a truck, which is kind of scary. I turn it off a lot of times.
You know, my guess is, and again, like you said, you don't want to know too much about it, but I would say it's probably ignoring the lanes and just following the biggest reflected target. And it's got a good signal. It probably says, hey, this is a good signal. I will train behind it. That's my guess, but that's simply a guess.
Hey, that's probably a very, very good assumption because makes sense to me. When I used to play with automation and technology and stuff like that, you learn a lot of things you didn't know just from experimenting. So, oh boy. So how's your day going otherwise? I'm working and putting in flooring, and now I have to take a break from flooring, and then when I get back after Thanksgiving, I'll go back into flooring mode again. I've got half my stairway done.
Oh, well, you're making a lot of progress, because I thought you said the stairs, you got to do the bullnose and a lot of cutting and fitting and wasted materials and stuff. So, hey, good job with that. Can I go back to driving around North Carolina, my last adventure coming up, I-75?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Well, it was about this time of the year, and they had all these fog warning lights and warning systems all across there. And, it was really quite complex, I thought, but it was slow down because of fog and icing conditions. I thought it was pretty darn sophisticated. Did you experience that?
If I did, I don't remember it. I do remember, though, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, we went down for the Christmas holidays, and it's when we had that really bad cold snap, and I was staying in my sister-in-law and brother-in-law were at a campground, and they had cabins, really nice cabins. They're basically little mini mobile homes, but they were heated with a mini split, and as you know, well, at least the older mini splits, but they get down around 17 degrees, I think it is. They don't make heat anymore. We were pretty cold.
Yeah, the newer mini splits, the one I just installed the last couple of years, uses a different refrigerant that's supposedly good down to -4 Fahrenheit. I don't know if I've challenged it that way. I do have to remember the story about you renting a cabin out, I'm going to say in Truckee or California, where they actually have a wood-burning stove in the cabin.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea out in Truckee Pass. Yeah, we had, I went down one time before my sister-in-law was down there, and we, it was really odd. We were planning a family get-together and then go visit my grandfather's ancestral land, where there's actually a graveyard and a chapel site now. This chapel burnt down a long time ago, but it's out, pretty much out in the wilderness. And anyway, we rented a three-story post and beam house, Airbnb, and my sisters ended up not being able to come, and then my brother in Arizona, of all places, he had a roof leak in his house in Arizona, and it was raining a lot at the time, so he's like, I'm going to have to cancel too. So my wife and I on the top of a mountain, and just the two of us, in this giant house, and it was kind of strange. We were way out there, you know. I wake up in the morning, and I'd sit on the porch with my coffee, and you have to kind of watch the clouds clear around you so you can see, because, you know, we're up in the clouds, that Smoky Mountain clouds that kind of linger through there. So it was a really interesting experience, really kind of fun.
Yeah, Ramsey, you were talking mini splits, and then you were talking Arizona and roof leaks. You know, well, you know where Luke Air Force Base is. I was staying in an apartment next to it, and we had a swamp cooler up in the roof of it, which is basically a water flowing, I don't know, evaporative water. And it definitely created roof leaks.
Oh yeah, those things get crazy. I've had my share of dealing with those. Fortunately, not in my home though. Place we lived at in Gilbert for a while had a community farm and a greenhouse, and I repaired the evaporative cooler and the fans for the greenhouse. It was all dilapidated, so I spent some time and got all that running for the community. It was kind of fun. The capacitors in the fans had failed, so they wouldn't turn on. You know, I replaced those, and I had to re-level the tank for the evaporative cooler, but it was kind of nice when I got done. You know, this big one wall was an evaporative cooler, and the fans blew out, so it sucked the air into that evap cooler, and it dropped the temperature in that greenhouse pretty good.
All right, hey, very, all right. Well, final question for you before I let you drive, Gilbert. What state is that in? ACADG. I'll listen for your final.
Yeah, Gilbert is Arizona. So it's out on the eastern edge of out past Tempe not past Tempe, Chandler. It's east of Chandler, Arizona, out near the old Gateway, Williams Gateway Airport. Used to be a military airport. I don't know, did I hear you were leaving? My radio got stuck for a minute.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over, run over to my kitchen, but yeah, I kind of know where that is, but by Phoenix Executive Airport, I'm not too sure of the other one there you were talking about. So, hey, well, with that, I'm gonna sign with you. Good conversation, stimulating, interesting talk about evaporative coolers. Hey, talk to you later, ACAPG.
Happy Thursday, Jim. Good talking to you, 73's KI7 QMD. Back to listening.
Thank you. line and then mobile monitoring.
KOB mobile.
Hi, good morning. First name here is John. Julie, it's October, November. Just taking our dog out to the dog groomers to get groomed for the day and then heading back. How's your morning going?
Not bad, John. My name is Cameron. Charlie off Micah Romeo Oscar November. I'm mobile here, heading into work. East of Mile, about 8 miles. And, we're just heading into work here, and finally got the Mile 700 back up, so we're able to talk from the shores of the east part of the state now.
Ah, very good. Yeah, you've got a good strong signal in the repeater, so it sounds like the link is working very well.
Yeah, it works. It's about 300 plus feet on a 450 foot tall tower at about 1,300 foot ground elevation, so highest point in the county, so it talks really well.
That ought to do it. Need to get one of those in my backyard.
What repeater are you coming in on?
I'm on the Benzie County 147340 repeater.
Okay, that's a new one that you guys just added to our link here.
Oh, very good.
I think that's down there. You talked to Bob T. Was back in the day, KD8SUT, or his brother Dick, and I don't remember his call sign.
Roger. Yeah, we've got a Bob in our club, the Barf Benji area radio friends, and he's a good guy.
Bob and I got our license right around the same time. I was SUI and he was SUT, and we used to talk on the Cadillac 9-8 years ago, probably 10 years ago now, and I was 25, so yeah, about 10 years ago, 26 actually, going back and forth to school. I used to have about a 15-minute drive to school, and we talked with Tom WBAWIV and Dick and his brother Bob, and we'd all talk on the Cadillac repeater.
Very good. Yeah, that Cadillac repeater's got quite the footprint. I can just barely reach it from my home QTH in Beulah, Michigan.
Yeah, copy that. It's got a nice footprint where it's at. It's kind of like my repeater. It's basically considered a quadrant repeater for the most part. I mean, this repeater here, I don't know if you're familiar with where Mayo is at, but you can get into it south of West Branch, which is approximately 50 miles. You can get into it as far north as Alpena. It's definitely a good working machine. I'm curious to see what it'll do out to the east and the west. I moved 400 yards east, and I'm up on a higher point. So the two towers are next to each other. And went from one tower to the other tower, and I think I'm doing a lot.
Very good. How's the weather holding out in your area? We're getting some drizzle here. And I just bumped the temperature up. It's hovering right around 32 degrees. I'm hoping we're not going to get freezing rain by the time I get back.
The sun is shining bright right now, and it's 21 degrees. Sun is shining bright, and it's 21 degrees. I don't know why I didn't even watch the weather today. I'm not ready for snow, I'll tell you that.
Roger, on the snow. Yeah, I've heard we've got a snowstorm coming on for Thanksgiving that could be kind of interesting from what I'm seeing so far.
Honestly, I don't look too much at it. I probably should, because all the fall accounts I have this year, I probably should get prepared. But, well, hey, John, I'm just about pulling into work here, so you have yourself a good day. Hopefully it don't turn into ice, and safe travels. AB9NN and a 9 COB mobile. Wow.
Okay, very good. Good to make your acquaintance, and don't be a stranger. And we've got a weekly net at 8:30 on Wednesday nights, once a week on this repeater. And we also do a breakfast on the last Saturday of every month in honor at the little restaurant there. So, hey. Thanks for the ride along. Have a great day at work, and I'll catch up to you a little bit later. AB9 and then mobile, I'll be monitoring.
Consumers Power is out from Levering to Pelston. Anybody else know any other information?
D80 mobile.
And then mobile monitoring. AB9 and then mobile monitoring.
And 8DMH mobile. And 8DMH mobile.
Mike. I'm on the phone with Cam right now. Just trying to figure out. We had to drop the link over here, or up there.
Yeah, copy. It sounded like it was something in the link. Is that what you think it was?
Affirmative. Yeah, it was one of the nodes. Cameron just dropped it off, and it cleared it up.
Copy that. Sounds good. WATET, clear.
Copy that. Have a good one. K9KOP. Have a good day.
K8SBW, Mackinac Bridge.
I'm in KOP mobile. Where are you at, John? You're just barely waking it up. Well, that was a good signal. Who was that? Where are you at, Dean? You say you're in downtown West Branch? Yeah, you're right at the bottom of it. Yeah, you're breaking up. I'm fairly copying what you're saying. I'm at the parts store. 9 KOP mobile.
All right, I'm going to get on the hill. I'll call you.
Oh, that was a lot better that time. And KOP, I'll be there.
I'm going to get the same W. WBUH Mobile.
And I'm KOP Mobile. You should be at the top of the hill now, Dean. And KOP clear.
KRDV Mobile.